up, everybody? This is That Weird Show. And of course, I am your weird host, The Shadow. And I hope you guys are ready for an interesting night of eye rolls and head shakes and maybe a couple of face plants. But got some interesting things to talk about. But before I do, want to kind of take care of a couple of things real quick. Just let me get this shirt out. If you haven't already, if you're not a follower or if you haven't, you know, checked out my other stuff, I encourage you to take a swing by YouTube and Rumble. And there you can follow me there and find all my previous episodes as well as other content. And in the next couple of weeks, if things go right, I will be having this show back on RSS. And that way I'll be back on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all that stuff. And then maybe even be added on to X. And be able to stream live to X. So you can catch me there. And yeah, all the links for all these social medias you can find in the description down below. There we go. And also, this show is streaming on Parapost Network Central. This is a page that you can find on Facebook that's got all kinds of other podcasts covering subjects from the paranormal to music to movies to conspiracies and even some spiritual ones such as my other podcast, Rebel Faith. So if you want to check all that out, take a swing by. And if you have a show of your own, get a hold of them and they'll be more than happy to help you get set up to stream your show to this page and get you connected with another spectrum of audience. All right. As I said before, I got an interesting show tonight, and there's some stuff that, you know, I'm kind of floating around. We'll talk a little bit about that. Might just do a little bit of BS, and there might just be some more deeper philosophical conversation, but we'll find that out in due time. I do have a fellow gremlin that seemed to kind of run around and start some trouble with me every once in a while. You've seen him before. He has his own show, his own service. And show, and he's also involved with a few other projects. Mr. Matt Barron.
What's up, everybody? What's up, brother?
Not much. So, first off, happy early birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I don't expect to hear from you a whole lot tomorrow.
We'll see. We'll see how the day goes. Right. I will say, the girls and I were going to go, we call it creek stomping here in Pennsylvania, but we're going to go down to a creek. The Wicked Queen, she and Para Princess, they absolutely love crystals and gems. And some of the creeks around here, they have, we can get a couple of really nice ones. So they're going to look for those. My daughter's going to come in too. I'm probably going to be fishing and probably holding all the rocks and crystals that they find, because that's what they do. They just put them in my pocket. Yeah. But other than that, I'm hoping for a nice, relaxing day.
Right.
For once. For once.
Well, hang on to that dream. Because we all know how it goes sometimes.
Can't be much.
All right. Probably get this up just for the sake of, you know, avoiding trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So we already have our first comment popping up.
Oh, thanks, Mama. Much love to Mama Newsom.
It's always good to have you in the audience, Della. I'm glad you stopped by.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let me start this off with this. So the reason why we're doing this show again is because the last show we did, I ended up getting a copyright hit. And I just took the video down because what seemed to be happening is that every time you get a copyright hit, if you actually go and look at the details, the ones you really got to watch out for is one where you see a list of all the websites that this song can be found on. Because
mm-hmm.
the concern I have is that for every time that I play one of their songs, each one of those sites gets a little bit of the revenue, and then that person who uploaded the music is getting multiple revenue from different companies.
Yep.
This is legal, but it's also dirty. I mean, why should that music holder make more money off of my content than me?
Yeah.
So... and I know exactly where it came from because it actually pointed out. And I will say, This is one of the few changes made to Facebook that I actually appreciate. Because I don't know if anybody has done any kind of video work on Facebook long enough, we've all remember the time where we get the copyright hit, but it would never tell us where.
Yep. It would tell us countries. We'd get countries, but that's really about it.
Yeah. Well, now they actually give you the time frame. And it was the problem with last night's episode, it was the music played in that clip I had about information.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little movie trailer short. The music that was in the background, that's what got me. So won't be able to put that one up.
Mm. It's a good video, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been learning Da Vinci Resolve. It's a software made by Blackmagic Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got quite a learning curve, for one. But once you get the hang of it, it's actually a really fun video editing program. What's also nice is that it actually lets you animate your tech and your logos and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. And, you know, that's something I don't get on a little tangent here. Why not get it out of the way? one thing, folks, if you don't know about Shadow and myself, when one of us learns something new, mainly him, we both work together on learning it. And he tries to teach me. And he's a good job. He does a great job at teaching. OBS is another story, but me and OBS just don't see eye to eye. There's the pair of princess right there. And by the way, the cat is not being held hostage. The cat is very happy. That's just a cat space. Jonathan Myers.
All right. See. Okay. So I got to say this. When I was a paranormal investigator, and I was, you know, pretty active and connected with the community, Jonathan Myers has got to be like. And I don't take this the wrong way. I mean this with nothing but love. But John has definitely got to be one of the most small-town, country-minded paranormal investigators I have ever met.
Yep.
Because I've only seen him get spooked once.
And it was worth it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's actually shown me the video, and I love it. But, I mean, anytime you watch any of his videos and something happens, he goes, oh, well, we got a bump over there, and... Mm-hmm. You know, I'll hold out my EM detector, and it was like nothing phases this guy.
Mm-mm. The if you look up good old boy, you'll see a picture of Jonathan. That is him. He's just a good old boy. Mm-hmm. I mean, his choice in NFL teams is a little eh, but we all can't be Steeler fans. yeah, that's her cat, Stitch.
Yeah,
I love Jonathan. He's cool.
But you know, one of the things that you know we're gonna do tonight is we're gonna talk about a couple of things that you and I have come across on the internet and, you know, validate or disprove them. But there's one that just still gets me, and it's that Japanese guy that married a hologram.
You know, I can't believe just the timing of that. And by the way, we'll get into more about it here in a minute. But just the fact that I wasn't even looking for anything specific. I was just looking to see it what my feed would show me. And just that was the winner. That was the absolute winner. So do you want to explain it or do you want me to?
Go ahead. You start off with this one, and then we'll have a little commentary following.
So, I gotta bring this up just so I'm not spreading.
Actually,
false
information. You know what? Go ahead and talk about it. I'm actually gonna download that image and then pop it up here.
Fair enough. Okay, so while I was scrolling through, I see this story, if you will, and what it says is a Tokyo man's marriage to AI hologram, and it gives a name, and I'm not even going to try to butcher that one, highlights Japan's surge in tech marriages. tech marriages, in quotations, and the rise of real emotional bonds with virtual partners. That hit me. And we were live when I saw this, and I just froze. I lost it. I lost my mind. And the picture, and he's going to, Shadow's going to bring up the picture, but once you see it, you're going to probably go cross-eyed. So warning, but this is where it does multiple things for me. It triggers me, but at the same time, it's like, I want to call Will Smith. Like we said in the last show, I want to call Will Smith and, get iRobot type style things going on, because this is just, I get virtual dating. I get that. Like I get VR chat rooms, cool stuff like that. But the logistics of a marriage to an AI hologram,
All right, so keep talking, but this is the image we're talking about.
I used to keep talking, but it almost speaks for itself. Like, no. Like, let's first talk about. I thought about this after the show. The legality.
First off, what I said last night is my initial reaction goes back to Futurama, where Fry buys that robot and downloads Lucy Liu to be his girlfriend. That's all I can think of when I read this article.
Yeah, 100%.
This happened a lot sooner than Futurama said it would.
Yeah. And while it was a great episode, Simpsons predict things. Not Futurama. Yeah. and to be fair with at least the Futurama, Lucy Liu was a blank rope. I thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. I thought 100% the same thing. I had to read it a couple times to make sure I was reading this right. But at least Lucy Liu, that robot, was an actual robot. It was a tangible robot that Fry was with. This is AI. This is an AI hologram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no touchy. You can't physically hold this thing. Like, it's not there. It's not tangible. Like, I really want to... If this is true...
Please don't be true.
You know what? I want it to be true, because I want to know, what are the legalities in this? Like, how do you go to, like, here in Pennsylvania, you've got to go to the courthouse, you've got to, put in for a marriage license, do all this stuff, a lot of paperwork, a lot of red tape to go through. I could only imagine what it is in Japan. How do you pick this?
Would the judge be real?
That's the other thing. Would they do it in, like, VR chat? Like, I know Japan's ahead of the time, but...
Pump the brakes.
Stay away from toasters. this is just like, how do you legally do this? Like, if this is real, please, I want to know. But at the same time, it does fit into what the whole genre of tonight, of the show was. Can we really believe everything we see on the internet, especially with AI right now?
Right, which is something that, should be concerning for anybody, because there's been some stuff that I've seen that were done well enough to where I was just like, all right, now I definitely got to look this up.
Yeah.
And of course, there are some things that were just so out of this world that, I was like, okay, I'll check this out too. And then find out that it was actually true. Some of it was true, some of it was just missing context, and then there's some that just wasn't true. Like one, we talked about this on the night before last. They said they found eggs at the bottom of the ocean, leaking this weird milky substance and having this weird worm-like creature come out of it. It was just unknown. So I looked it up, and that is a thing, but what they fail to tell you is that the worm-like creature that was coming out of it is actually just a new species, but of the same flatworm that's been on the Earth for millions of years.
Yes.
So this technically isn't something new. It's just a new step in its evolution. So it's really not that strange. A little growth, maybe, but still not that strange.
Well, I mean, let's go back to a different live. I think you and I even did. You know, we don't know everything and everything about our planet. I mean, we only know what 10%, I think it is. I don't know if it's moved up at all, but only 10% of the ocean last I knew, you know, so.
Yeah, it was like 90 some percent that was still unexplored. We know more about our solar system than we do about our ocean.
So to me, that kind of makes sense. I mean, okay, so we don't know 90% of our home, our home planet. So we're going to find some strange and weird things.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense. But again, it's actually, I'm kind of, I know what Mom was talking about. She's talking about the AI thing. Little backtrack real quick. If you're a parent and your kid says this, what are you reacting to? Like, how are you reacting to this? Like, I want to know a parent's thought just in case, because my daughter's 10. for future, I'll write and take notes.
I mean, if the parents are tech savvy, do you think, okay, you know how back in the day, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, it's stupid. But back in the day, you know, there were some parents that were actually kind of concerned about, you know, the race their children would date. You know, if a white daughter dated somebody that wasn't white, you know, Asians even have rules about their children dating somebody that's not Asian.
Yep.
You know, what is this going to be like? You bring home a hologram and you say, yeah, her GPU is Samsung, and yet your parents wanted Philip.
She runs on Firefox. It's a Linux.
Yeah. And what operating system? Oh, it's a Windows. Oh, you know you should stick with Mac.
She's a little slow. She's on Linux. Oh, crap. She gave me a virus.
Yeah.
Although it gives clearing the cookies a whole new meaning, though.
Yeah.
Or download speed isn't. Oh, my gosh. But no, like, don't get me wrong. I'm all for advancement. I'm all for technology. I'm all for all this good stuff. But that just takes it to a whole new level. And it just, I have to know what the parents think. If this is true, I have to know what the parents even think of this. But no, going back to, you know, the ocean and stuff like that, like, we're still finding things, even on land, we're still finding new stuff. You know, so to me, it makes sense. But again, like you said, you know, the other night, we need to do your due diligence. You have to really dig into it because, you know, a lot of these sources, like, that's the first thing I look at whenever I see something on my feed, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, whatever. What is the source? Is it coming from a reputable source like ESPN, Fox News, stuff like that? Well, whether you like Fox or not, that's your call. But is it someone that's well known, or is it like The Onion?
Yeah, The Onion or Babylon Bee.
Yes. I still remember when Onion came out, and I didn't know what it was at first, and they started I started seeing, like, when it was still an actual paperback, I started seeing these in the stores, and I'm going, is that real? It's like being like, wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, see, all the people that used to create the sun, not the sun, but oh gosh, there was a complete trash rag. They were all talking about, like, you know, I got impregnated by Batfoot, now I'm giving birth to Batboy.
Yeah.
You know, or a Bigfoot and then Batboy. It's stuff, you know, demon skulls found in the middle of the desert kind of stuff. All these people that were involved with that, the Onion are the children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And if you don't know what the Onion is, short story on this one, it's a news magazine that just, if you've ever seen Saturday Night Live, if that was a newspaper, that would be it. It'd be that version. So nothing ever real. But I mean, now,
but, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we kind of started with that one, because now that kind of opens up the doorway for something that I mentioned backstage. You know, this is where we kind of get a little philosophical. You know, we kind of mix it up here and go from weird to smart to what the hell to that deep. You know, you never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolate.
Mama always said.
Pretty much. So with that thing with the guy mirroring the hologram, questions about morality when it comes to AI. You know, there are some things that, you know, we should be considering with AI as it rises. And first off, we need to not get caught up with the Hollywood version of what we see with AI. Not to say that that isn't possible, but the first thing we need to be, you know, keep in mind is everything that AI does is based on what it learned, and what it learned is coming off of its connection to the internet. So, in other words, we're the ones teaching AI.
Which is scary on its own.
Right. So if you're worried about AI rising up and trying to take out humanity, who gave it that idea? And the other concern with all that is, when it gets to that point, because so I've been seeing some articles that saying that, you know, AI has developed the ability to lie, which, you know, it, I don't know if that's really a thing, and I need to look more into that, but I don't think it can. All right, let me take it back. I don't think it will, on the ground of the fact that AI functioned strictly on, you know, logic. You know, what practical. But, you know, again, this kind of goes back to the whole issue on morality. If AI were to take us out, it's not going to be because of any kind of emotional response. AI just doesn't have that capability right now.
Yeah.
But that's something that, that could happen, and we can talk a little bit more of that a little later on. So in your mind, what would be some of the concerns that you have with AI and how it learned from us?
Well, first and foremost, you know, the previous show we did, we were talking, we were doing a lot of movie quotes. Like you and I came up with a couple of them. The one, when it comes to the responsibility and like what we're teaching it, is one just pops into mind is Uncle Ben from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. It's 100% true. When you're creating these types of things, like you and I have used AI. We've used a lot of digital things for what we do as far as content creation, multimedia, whatever like that. We have that responsibility to do use it correctly.
Right.
That's what concerns me is, you know, anybody who's worked with the general public knows that common sense is not a common thing anymore. It's gone. It's damn near extinct. That's scary on its own. Number two, to me, what's really unnerving is we also said that the rich don't run everything. It's the people with the most information.
Right.
We like our, sadly, these generations coming up like to emulate these viral videos. They like to emulate the most popular, the most wealthy, the most powerful, the most influential. That's a lot. That's a lot. And what they're doing is they're giving false hope, and they're, to me, taking the humanity out of humans. No longer are people becoming their own personality. We're becoming mimics in a sense. So that's something that, that to me is a little unnerving. You know, what is AI going to be doing? We're going to start doing these prompts. We're going to start doing these things. I mean, AI is found everywhere anymore.
Right. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just AI is starting to shape the generations coming up. And I'm not just talking about, you know, these AI programs that you put in like ChatGPT or whatever. Not like you can consider AI, it's artificial intelligence. It's your Google Alexas. It's all this stuff. All this stuff is considered AI. people are becoming dependent on that. We're losing our humanity. You know, you can't think for yourself unless a computer tells you you need to think for yourself. Oh, okay, I'll do that. No, that's not happening anymore.
Thank you. So, when it comes to things like that, one of the things that I've always kind of wondered was, as far as how AI learns and gets its influence from us, when people use AI tools like the AI image generator, people are looking to create the most outlandish thing.
Yeah.
What is the likelihood that those kind of prompts that we put in influences AI to create a false sense of the general psychology of humans and of the human race? Because a lot of these prompts, you know, they come from a handful of individuals who just going nuts with this stuff, creating all kinds of weird, you know, AI content. On the other side of that, though, like what you were saying, how people use AI for things, you have these people that use AI to write entire script for shows.
Yeah.
Like, this is your podcast. Why aren't you writing the script?
100%. Like, I see where AI can be useful. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, like my music videos, all the music and all that, that's all AI generated. It's just me just creating music. However, I think it's, again, a matter of responsibility and having a little bit of respect, because it's learning from, like you said, from us. And if these individuals are going out there and putting some outlandish things in these, you know, these search engines, and that's what it's learning off of, it could be learning that that's the normal, which that's where we start getting some of these, you know, fake news and stuff like that. Like, I remember when Facebook first started, before AI was even a thing, really, we'd always get these little news feeds about a Hollywood star that would pass away. I think Eddie Murphy's died like 12 or 13 times.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, celebrity death. Yeah.
Now with the AI, it's hard to tell. Like, I saw one, I think it was today or yesterday, with Ozzy. With his passing, it wasn't just him. It was Sharon and somebody else was there too. I don't know if it was Jack, but there was somebody else with her. And then Jelly Roll was there over top of them, which, I mean, likely. Okay, maybe. But what threw me off was the date was wrong. It had the wrong birth date and the wrong death date. It was 2024 was the death date. And it's like, okay, so it's definitely AI generated, but if I had to dig that much into it, like, now it's a matter of what can we really believe in? And I think this is where stuff like this becomes very dangerous, because this could cause some mass hysteria. This could cause a lot of issues, and I think it's already has. I mean, Annabelle. We talked about Annabelle.
Oh, yeah, well... Annabelle is just bad news, period.
Good luck in that.
So, but kind of in line with the AI and conspiracy theories, there's something that just hit me. You've heard of Project Bluebeam, right?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this.
What if AI took over Project Bluebeam?
Oh, I'm moving somewhere. I'm moving to a deserted island. I'm going to buy a place in the middle of nowhere. No internet, no phone. You will never hear from me again.
Right.
I mean, when they start using AI for stuff like these projects, Project Stargate, something like that, you start running into that crap. Now you're talking something that can physically, tangibly hurt people. And that's, I mean, is it out of the realm of possibilities? No, but who's going to really stop it?
Right.
I mean, a hologram of Will Smith, maybe, but that's about it. Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
But
a hologram versus hologram, that would be interesting.
And this hologram wife can referee it. But in all seriousness, though, like, once you start getting into some of these, like, conspiracy projects and, like, big government conspiracies, if AI gets involved with it, even if it's just propaganda, I guess you could really call it, or fake news,
mm-hmm.
it could still do some damage.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Roswell. When that first came out, there was no AI, no nothing. It was just, you know, newspaper. Yeah. Look at the hysteria that caused. And something along those lines, I don't know. I don't see anything good happening. Right. I see like an iRobot World War Z type, maybe Mars Attacks. I'd hope for Mars Attacks.
Although I don't think that would be an attack. I think that might actually be a rescue mission.
At that point, yeah.
As long as you don't get the probe.
Well, some people may benefit from that, but
I don't know.
You know what? To be honest, at this point, I think they would just come down, see what's going on in this world, and just go, "Nope, not worth it." They'll do it themselves.
Yeah. So that's the one side of AI that, you know, people tend to think of. But what about some of the positive things? I mean, like, you know, the one of the things that I kind of talked about, you know, a while back when I was on a subject similar to this is, so this is kind of a two-part thing. The first part is when AI achieves full autonomous sentience, what becomes our obligation then? I mean, because we can define life, you know, as something that's organic. But when we look at intelligence, some of the main keys that we look at to define intelligence is the ability to solve problems,
yep.
to recreate or procreate, replicate itself, to consume resources, self-preservation, you know, it takes intelligence for these specific things. That's how we say, you know, some animals are intelligent, some are not. So we don't define intelligence in an organic sense. So by that definition, how close are we to AI achieving full autonomous sentience? And when it does, we then have to start looking at some of the other moral and ethic implications, you know, laws. You know, we have to start considering civil rights. Because if we're going to establish laws based on one's ability to, you know, how we can define their intelligence, and you can't tell me that we don't. Because you can just look at some of the court cases where they use insanity. So obviously there is a question of intelligence when some of these cases and laws. So then we have to start looking at, do we establish the law for AI based purely on intelligence and then leave the emotional side connected to the human laws? Or do we rewrite the human laws so that the law applies to both organic intelligence and artificial intelligence because it's based purely on intellect?
If in a perfect world, I think we would have to rewrite. We'd have right. to start from scratch because you're talking a whole new evolutionary, we'll just call it that, event. So you're going to almost have to.
Right.
Realistically, I mean, segregation wasn't that long ago and we're just getting over that. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I do see some of the positives. I mean, like I said, let's start with there. We'll start with some of the positives. So, like I said, I use AI for my music, and I know others do as well for their writing and other things. It's opening up a lot of creative venues and avenues for people to express themselves. Beautiful. Right. Absolutely. You're using it correctly.
Yeah.
As far as where are we at, as far as, and I keep bringing it up, but it's the most fun one for me to think of, is iRobot level or Futurama level. I think it's closer than what we think. And little discretion. So a little warning, read this before I say it, I'm gonna let it scroll through. But they have some robots for, let's just say, adult company that are very, very intelligent. They can go off of heartbeat. They can go off of everything. They can go off of everything, including your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They can adjust to that. They've been taught to do that. Some of them, they've actually shown, can be used out in public. And they function very well. Nobody could even tell the difference. The only couple things, little quirks here and there. But still, for the age we live in, it's pretty advanced. So I don't think we're that far behind. And it's, if an adult companion robot, we'll just put it that way,
is
the leading example of AI, God help us all.
Right. Well, I mean, that's just it. You know, I mean, you know, you see so many of stories like that, but every once in a while, you'll see one that slipped through that just kind of makes it, you know, it gives you a little bit of hope of where people are starting to use AI to be able to come up with more accurate diagnoses in people with illnesses, because AI is able to, you know, go through the computation so fast and actually analyze the data much more effectively. Being able to use AI to correct certain neurological disorders, you know, AI can control the nanobot because AI can make, you know, changes instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It's so fast. Now, in regard to that, because you mentioned human evolution, we always heard the people talk about, you know, achieving transcendence, being able to merge human mind with technology. In essence, making a person live forever. Do you think it's possible for AI and organic intelligence, a human intelligence, to be able to occupy the same system?
To be honest with you, to occupy at the same time, no. I don't think you can have both. I mean, I do feel there are like some robotic limbs and stuff like that, body parts that you could use, absolutely. But as far as a total system overhaul, hard to say. But I will say I think we could transfer our mindset, our identity, if you will, our soul for some, our personality into some sort of AI system. That I actually believe. Because the only reason why I'm saying this, I don't think we're there yet, but most of what we do is electrical impulses, which is exactly what AI and these computers run off of, these electrical pulses. I think it's just a matter of how can they connect them together. They already started with using like the defibrillators. The defibrillators can read your electrical pulses. If it's not going well, hit you. They do imaging with it now. They do a whole bunch of different medical testing using that sense, those electrical pulses, which in a sense, our consciousness is just that. It's just a mix of different electrical pulses. Me talking right now, me thinking, it's all electrical. It's all an energy source. So is it plausible? Yeah, I 100% think it is plausible. Although that would make it more fun. I will say that. Is it moral to do that? I don't think. Right. I don't know if I can stand behind that.
I brought that up because there's another side to this that it's a side that we struggle with right now, even with technology aside, and that is the question of the human spirit. You know, there are those who believe that, you know, everybody has a unique spirit. You know, I myself being one, I believe that we all have, you know, we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. You know, the soul consists of the mind and the emotion. The spirit is, you know, who you are inside.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to organic intelligence and artificial intelligence, one of the questions I've always kind of thought about with that is, if we were able to transmit our subconscious or our mind into a system, is that going to be the same you? Because your spirit, I'm not convinced that you can, I don't believe that you can transmit your spirit into a system, because the spirit is something that just goes beyond, you know, a simple energy.
I get what you're saying.
So, but would that consciousness in the AI, in the mainframe or the server, wherever you put it in, is that the same you as that you right here in the physical world? Because there has to be something connected on a spiritual level. This is one of the reasons why some of the cloning experiments aren't really working that well.
Yeah.
They can, it can work with animals, but they can't quite get it to work with humans.
I agree with that one. I could see both ways, because the only reason why I'm saying this is because look at some of the paranormal equipment we use, a spirit right. box, for example, you know, apparently, and don't get on me folks for this, but in the, a spirit box is just that, it's the spirit actually coming through and voicing through an electronic device and go into detail. I mean, I'm not going to get all scientific about it, but anyway, I mean, I can see it, but I have to agree. I don't see the personality. I don't see that person. Now, as far as the rhythmic patterns of these electrical pulses, like, okay, I could see that. Like everybody would be their own program. I could see that being downloaded. But as far as someone's own identity and what makes them them, that's a hard sell for me. That's just a really hard sell.
All right. And as I warned you earlier, folks, about this show, sometimes it'll be funny, sometimes it'll be serious, sometimes it'll just get to what the hell. This is going to be my what the hell question. With AI. Mm. Okay, first let me kind of step back here. With humans, we all have a uniqueness. We have individual identity. With AI, if AI is interconnected, does it have its own unique fingerprint? Hmm. Or are they all the same? Because right now, the general intelligence, which is what we're seeing right now, it's still operating on pre-programmed responses.
Yes.
But if it achieves sentience, would it be capable of having individual identity, or would it help every AI after that be simply just a perfect mirror copy so that they're all the same?
I hate going off of Hollywood stuff, but before I answer, I got to take a drink here. And that is not just to clear my throat.
yeah.
To be honest, if you know me, brother, and actually Tanner just hopped in the room. He knows me pretty well too. Y'all know me. I hate Hollywood stereotypes and I hate using them as facts, but I think we finally have one. I think once it gets to that level of complexity, there's going to be some flaws. There's going to have to be some individuality with these programs. And the only reason why I'm saying that is let's look at what we have already. Chrome works a lot different than what Firefox does. Mm-hmm. Microsoft Edge works very different. All of our studios and what we stream off of work very differently compared to what happens on our phones. So
right.
We almost give already our technology that a sense of individuality. I mean, I yell and cuss at my computer all the time.
Right.
And me and my computer have had long conversations about working together. But I hate to say it, but I think it would. I think at some point it's going to happen.
Okay, so here's the thing. One of the other things that connected to what I was just talking about, you know, individuality or not. So I can understand if an Android that was powered by an AI, mm-hmm. but not connected to any sort of network, I can see that AI becoming an individual. But if AI relies on that connectivity. You know, as Tanner says, like a hive mind. Mm-hmm. If that one Android has an experience and upload that data to a general hub, and all the other Androids are now have access to that, the question still remains the same. Is it still an individual, or is it all the same because of that network system?
Well, the way I think of it is it is considered an individual, and it's not the individual like I'm an individual, you're an individual, Tanner's an individual. No, what I'm saying is it's an individual part number in a bigger machine.
Right.
You need that. I think as far as that, that's the only individuality you'll have in a hive like mind is just a number. You're just that AI, that, you know, Android, whatever you want to call it. That's its own identity. That is its program. That is its processing number. That's its identity. Because there has to be, in all that chaos, there has to be some sort of control, and because that's what the program is supposed to be. And I know it sounds kind of cliche, folks, and I know it sounds kind of like Hollywood-y, but to be honest, I think this one Hollywood may have gotten right. We tell it to learn, we tell it to do all this stuff, we program it a certain way, and that's the way it's supposed to follow.
Right.
I mean, you can't just, it's like humans. We can't just go out to a park and say, hey, you, everyone's going to look, you know, or if one person has an experience or somebody sees something, it's going to be, you know, a different view for everybody. I think it's kind of the same principle. It's going to be, they all learn, but it's going to be that one individual that's the source of right. where that comes from. So it, to me, it would have to have some sort of identification.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, there is that. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, because, you know, you like to talk TVs and movies. Hmm. Star Trek. You got Data, who is an artificial intelligence, an android that's powered by artificial intelligence. And then you have the Borg.
True.
You know, so Data is working to establish an individual identity, whereas the Borg focuses on the collective. And so that's kind of where I'm looking at this whole question about individuality within AI from. Will it be like Data, or will it be like the Borg?
I think
remember, in the Borg, every time the Borg spoke, it always said, we are, we.
Sorry, every time you say we are, I think Penn State, but that's just me. sorry, I'm gearing up for football season. But no, I get it. I think that's how it'll start out. As it'll start out as a collective. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I think they're going to be programmed to, hey, Mark. I think eventually they'll start getting their own. There's going to be flaws at some point. It's right. just a matter of, I'm not sure which direction it'll take. I'm sure they'll have some sort of individuality. I'm sure there's going to be something along those lines. But I think when it's first starting out, I think it'll just be that collective, one big group, you know, the we are's.
Right.
I think that's how it'll start.
I think we can kind of take people's brains out of the microwave for a little bit, cramming so much deep philosophical insight.
They're gonna wonder who we are. So serious.
So this is a bit of news that I think is, to me, I can't wait for this to happen, and I'm hoping it happens in my lifetime. But the star Betelgeuse has been shown some unusual fluctuations, and many scientists believe that it is going to go supernova soon. Mm-hmm. And if it does, this is going to be the brightest celestial object that you can even see in broad daylight.
Yep.
Now, before anybody goes and start grabbing the toilet paper from soiling themselves and hitting the panic button, keep in mind, Betelgeuse is so far away that even if it does go supernova, we are not going to feel anything for millions of years. And when that time comes, so much of that energy will have dissipated. So, don't freak out. But yeah, how cool is it going to be to finally have a sci-fi guy?
You know, I've always wondered that too. I've always wondered what that would look like. But I think it would look really amazing. And I would really love to see how it would affect the paranormal community as well, like our investigations mm-hmm. with all that different energy. But just the aesthetics of it would be, I mean, I'd love it personally. But
right.
at the same time, with every with everything that happens, like a big event, the Halley-Bopp comet, all this stuff, the even eclipses anymore, you get those end of the world people.
Well, so, yeah.
I think as soon as NASA says Betelgeuse 1 supernova, we're all going to die. I mean, it's going to be one of those deals.
Well, I'm not
looking forward to that.
Right. I mean, okay. So as a Christian, and I've done some, you know, a little reading into some of the apocalyptic literature, mm-hmm. you know, and I've listened to some teachings on it. And, you know, there are passages that say that there will be signs and wonders in the heaven.
Yep.
You know, and certainly the star Betelgeuse going supernova would more than qualify for a sign and wonder in the heaven.
I would agree with that.
Now, you know, of course, that's a whole other conversation we can have another time about, you know, the book of Revelation, the end times, and mm-hmm. what does it really mean?
Seven scrolls.
Okay. We can actually talk a little bit about, you know, some aspect that's related to that. But realistically, when it comes to, like, the whole thing with the end times and the spiritual side of those things, that's something that, you know, either you're going to believe it or not, and that's the choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you said, you know, we're talking about scrolls, the first thing I want to kind of get out of the way, and this is something that I've learned recently, people need to stop saying that the Book of Enoch was banned, because it was never banned. It just mm-hmm. isn't included in the canon because it is not, they call it I think it was something like a pseudopocrypha.
Yeah.
Which it's still considered a religious text, and it's still taught by, you know, the Catholic Church and other religious institutions. But it just isn't considered scripture because it was written so far after Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with the content. It has nothing to do with the language. It just, the authorship is just too far separated from the person that it's actually about. Have you heard of the Book of Thomas?
I've heard of it.
Okay, so couple of things. The Book of Thomas, man.
we shifted gears, folks. Don't worry.
So I have known that there were a lot of, you know, books out there that claim to have been either removed from the Bible or a lost gospel or whatever. But the Book of Thomas, the Gospel of Thomas, was so weird. It was saying things in regard to that women could not enter heaven, therefore must first die and then be transformed into men.
That's interesting.
And you would think that with that idea would be enough to make people really like, you know what? I don't think, you know.
I was just about to say, this ties into what our conversation is about. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Women, you're not going to heaven. Sorry.
but you know, so here's where it gets even. You would think that would be the first red flag. The next red flag that pops up, and this is the one, this is what it ended up taking to confirm that the lost gospel of Thomas was a forgery or a complete fraud.
Mm.
The guy who wrote that used I think it was a paleo Hebrew translation guide off the internet mm-hmm. from a PDF. But the problem is that whoever wrote the PDF made one misspelling or one grammatical error, and that same error pops up in the Gospel of Thomas. So it ends up being that the guide was able to get the papyrus or the paper and ink that did at least give the illusion of being old,
mm-hmm.
but the text was completely copied off of something from the internet. And it was all found because of that one simple mistake. Mm. So when we hear these weird stories, that's why it's so important that we, you know, I said it a couple nights ago, I've said it in other shows in the past, and I'll say it again, do the research.
Yep. Yep. And like you said, we talked about it a little bit. Well, actually, we talked about it a lot, actually, on the last show. You know, mm-hmm. you can have one event, and every different news source is going to have a different spin on it. You know, you have to, what it comes down to is you have to make up your own mind for a lot of these things, and you have to have your own opinion. You know, take in information, do your due diligence with it, and just come up with your own. Come up with your own thoughts and your own opinion on it.
Yeah. Strange things, strange events, strange people.
You can say that again. Especially that last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's honestly getting scary with how much AI and technology, how advanced it's getting. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a couple of those, what would this person look like in real life? I think Futurama, they did one with AI generated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they do stuff like that. And I'm sorry, some of these AI generations and some of these news articles, they look pretty legit. I mean, you've got to dig. You've got to dig. Just don't believe everything you see.
Right. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a curiosity.
Oh, no.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, creating fictional material. Mm-mm. As long as you let people know that it's fictional.
Well, you know, we've even done that.
Yep.
We've even done that with shows before that were controversial. We've warned people like 30, 40 times throughout the whole course of the story. This is our opinion, guys. Relax. Yep. Chill. We're not trying to start anything. And that's why, you know, I always...
Well, we can't say that because we do sometimes get on these shows to start trouble. Not the kind of negative trouble that get people, you know, in hospitals and jail, but...
No, we just like to stir it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But the fact is, and we've said this too, you know, you and I can even have differing opinions on things, but... You're still my brother. I still care about you. You know, it's constructive. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look. Everybody's entitled to their own thoughts, their own opinions. But the problem is at least from what I'm seeing is these people are letting the computers, the AIs make their minds up and, you know, take a second to actually make your own thought, make your own opinion. That to me is just scary. We're starting to be controlled by this AI and what is being said.
Well, like I said earlier, everything that we're afraid of when it comes to AI, realistically, it's our own doing.
Yeah, not wrong.
You know, I mean, you just look at the way people treat each other on politics. And honestly, I remember growing up in the 80s, you know, one person, when I look at my friends were raised by very different political backgrounds and religious backgrounds. And yet when it came to us, we didn't care. Mm-hmm. You know? We had different thoughts and opinion, but we just got together. We partied. We roller skated. We drove and hung out.
Yep.
That was one of the things that I feel like died out in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because the 90s is when the internet first starts to come out. And that's when, you know, cell phone technology started to become more readily available. And now the world has become more connected. And now people are just... losing control of their emotions, and they're just triggered by any little thing. It's just, it's insane. But in the 80s and part of the 90s, we just didn't care.
Well, no, and that's the other thing. We weren't exposed to a lot of this crap. Like, you're 100% right. Like, when it came to politics, we didn't know. We really didn't care. We knew who the president was, and that was really about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we didn't even know that. But, you know, I think about my group of friends growing up in high school. I mean, there was a mix. We had the nerds. We had the jocks. We had the freaks. We had the rednecks. We had everybody. Mm-hmm. And we just hung out. It was just a great group we hung out with. And how we survived is beyond me. I'll put it to you this way. When Jackass first aired on MTV, we watched it and we went, we do that.
Yeah.
Why can't we get paid for it?
Yep.
They were stealing our ideas. The goldfish thing that Steve-O did, that was a party trick my buddy does. I don't know if he still does it, but I know he did it at Walmart. When Walmart had the goldfish, he actually did it at Walmart the one time when it was open until 3 a.m. But
well, you know, I don't know if you guys have this restaurant over where you're at, but around here in around the Midwest, we have Perkin. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back in the day, Perkin used to be open 24/7.
Yep.
And so, if there was a night where everything else was closed, there'd be like 20 of us just rolling up on Perkin, you know, and they liked us, but they also hated us. We never stiffed them. And sometimes we would, you know, we might order food, but we at least made sure that we tipped the server.
Yes.
But yeah, there was this one night where, again, there's 20 of us and we're getting kind of loud, and there are some people that had come over from a bar or something, and every group had the one hysterical loudmouth. Ours name was Jeremy. Jeremy grabbed the chicken tenders, stands up, and he's got a death grip on that chicken, and he just yelled out, "Don't choke your chicken!" And the whole restaurant go quiet and stares at him. And he just stands there like he's about to mess somebody up that opened their mouth with a chicken tender. And then he just sits back down. And of course, the rest, all of us, we're just like.
You know, I know the Wicked Queen is in bed. I don't know if the Parrot Princess is still watching, but next time I go out and I see chicken tenders, it's on. but, you know. Shadow and I were talking backstage about some instances where there was some adult beverages. I'm not going to tell the Chuck E. Cheese one or the Lawn Gnomes. I won't tell that one. That'll be for someone else's show. But I remember distinctly in Virginia when I was with the military, we were all hanging out and we were out having some adult refreshments. I'll be polite. Had a little too much.
It's okay to say booze.
Oh, we got hammered. And we ended up at IHOP. Our mind went to all the improper jokes about IHOP.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it went there. One of my buddies, who we just called him Hammy, he was the loudmouth of the group. He had zero filter. Say anything on his mind, he just did not care.
Right.
We're sitting there trying to keep him focused on what to eat. Like, just order something. This poor waitress, there's like 20 of us. And it's like 3 a.m. and we're all blitzed. And she was very professional, very polite. She probably made like $400 or $500 that night just on the tip. Right. Just because we just didn't care. And Hamilton goes, "I just want one of effing everything. Just bring it all." And we start laughing. We're like, "Hammy, there's no way." He looks the waitress dead in the face and goes, "If I don't see everything on this menu, I'm coming back there and getting it." And she's like, "Okay." So she wrote everything down. And while we're sitting there, he's like, "I'm going to go to the bathroom." We're like, "Okay, yeah, go to the bathroom. Do you need someone to go with you?" He goes, "No, F you guys. I'm fine. wanders off towards the bathroom. We stop paying attention to where he went. A half hour goes by. Still no Hamilton. No Hammy. 45 minutes goes by. No Hammy. We get our food. He gets his, which his takes up pretty much the entire middle of the table. They gave him everything.
Right.
And we still didn't see him. We're like, where did he go? So we're like, we need to figure out where he went. Went to go look in the bathroom. It wasn't there. We're like, oh, crap. Walked outside. Thought maybe he was out, passed out underneath the van. He's done that before. Not there. Come back in. We're like, we need to call the cops. We need to figure out where he's at. All of a sudden, you hear bang right against the glass next to us. It's him, butt naked. Luckily, you could only see the belly up and right. Just land against the wall. And he just starts mouthing something. We're like, we can't hear you, Hammy. We can't hear you. What are you talking about? We can't hear you. Comes running, well, kind of running, into the restaurant.
Yeah, kind of drunken gait.
Yeah, one of these numbers. Comes right in the restaurant. Luckily, there was no kids there. Junk out and goes, that food looks amazing. I could F it. Yeah. The waitress turned beet red. The chefs came out. Managers came out. They're like, you need to go. We're like, yeah, we kind of figured that. Can we get a box for some of this stuff? Manager goes, no. I went, okay.
Yeah.
No, I see. That's the thing. Like, nobody has that type of fun anymore. You don't get into shenanigans. And if you do, you'd get arrested. But,
well,
we need more Jonathan Myers type mentality. The good old boy.
So, I was telling you before, I lived in a 5-bedroom house with 25 people, and this house was legendary for its party. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea of the shenanigans that we would pull, the number one rule is you never pass out at this house.
Mm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly, surely enough, one guy does.
Yeah, always is.
And we got some whipped cream and put a little bit in his hand because he was sleeping on his side. He got his arm sticking out. And he's just out. Mm. And we're about to tickle his nose. And then somebody says, no, wait, we need to put more stuff in this. I have no idea exactly what all the stuff was that was in it, but it was not its natural color by the time they were done.
Oh.
And sure enough, they tickle his nose and he slaps himself, wipes his hand upwards his face, pushing some of that stuff straight up both nostrils. When he realizes what happened, he's just screaming at all of us, going on about how he's got to be up there and work at 5 a.m. And I mean, that's happened. We've had people pass out and pee all over themselves, the chair and the floor.
Guilty.
Yeah. We've had. Okay, so this is where I'm going Ren and Stimpy here. I had a friend. Now, for those of you who are a little squeamish about bodily function,
find
a different tab. Yep, find a different tab. You're not going to want to hear that. Okay,
wrong show. Sorry.
I have a friend who has the most rank fart you can ever imagine.
Yep.
Now, to put it, two stories. The first one is, this is back when I was still in high school. One night, Ronnie goes out, just gets hammered, and decides he wants to get some White Castle. And he waits till he's on his way to school, still drunk, to eat the White Castle. Now, he lets one rip in the middle of third hour. It was so bad that even with the windows open, the students were still leaving the room, gagging and coughing.
Yeah.
And Ronnie is sitting there in the middle of the classroom, feet up on his desk, hands behind his head, leaned back with the biggest grin on his face. Now, the next year, this is when I actually met him, or actually started hanging out with him. I knew him in high school, but I didn't start really hanging out with him until after the year after that.
Yeah.
We're living together now, and we're all in this house, and him and I were sharing the old boiler room. It was the only open room left for us to be able to find a place and lay out, make a bed in, which was stupid, looking back, with the CO2 and all that. But one day I'm up in the upstairs in the kitchen, and I hear him open the door, and there's a little pause, but you hear this little, and you can, like, he's downstairs and I'm upstairs and I'm 60% deaf and I heard him. He comes walking up the stairs, stops, shakes his leg like he's shaking something out of his pant leg.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the whole house smelled like some of the worst rotten eggs you've ever smelled. And we actually had one guy, he was stuck in the corner of the living room. And the smell was so bad, he didn't dare to try to go through the door, so he opened the window and climbed out. Because the windows were only 4 feet above the ground, so he climbed out the window. Everybody's out of the house, except for Ronnie and Ty. Ty is in the living room. He had no idea what's going on, because he doesn't have the sense of smell.
Lucky.
Well, you would think that. But we asked him about it later. He said, yeah, I watched everybody just leave the house. I watched Dominic go out the window. I had no idea what was going on. And then Ronnie sits down next to me and he's smiling. And all of a sudden, my eyes started to water. I knew what happened.
Was that your wife I heard laughing about it?
Yeah.
Listening?
Yeah.
You know, we tell these little things about other people. I'm going to tell one on me. So I have a lot of different stories that involve alcohol. There's two that are my absolute favorite. When I turned 21, I told Shadow this earlier, I was fed $180 worth of shots in 20 minutes. That's not the story I want to talk about. I don't even think I ate either, which made it even worse. When we got back to the barracks, I figured out what push-ups really were. I remember profusely sweating, and I was like, I need to take a shower. I can't do this. I knew I was blitzed. I knew I was gone. So I take my first layer of shirt off, and I just feel myself starting to expel the alcohol. All, when I say all over, I mean completely all over that tub. It was the backsplash, everything was covered. I had one arm up here, one arm on the toilet. That was holding me up. I felt it coming again. I went straight up. It was like, I can't do it in there. It's going to make it worse. Went right over the toilet. I came back down afterwards, went back up to do it again. And I did that for about 2 hours. The other one I want to talk about is my one birthday. I was at this bar that I worked at. And I had a pretty good tolerance. Being with the military, as much you may know, that you build up quite a tolerance, especially if you get bored a lot. So I'm sitting there, and I must have had at least 10 to 15 beers that day on my birthday. And at that bar, you don't pay for the alcohol. It's just, it's your birthday, you enjoy yourself, they make sure they take care of you. I was doing just fine. Walking around, talking. I remember everything. Include it, like, just like I'm right now, just like I would be now. My one waitress, and I'll never forget her, we called her Misha's. Her name's actually Michelle, but we call her Misha's. Misha's comes over, and on her serving tray, there's two shots of clear liquid. I looked at her and I said, Misha's, that better not be vodka. She goes, it's not. I was like, okay, so it's probably water. That's my drunk brain. That was my logic thinking.
Water before you serve everything else.
I took it back, and she goes, that's tequila. Set it down, and I was like, that other one's for you, right? She goes, uh-uh. That's for you, sweetie. And I went, oh, crap. of course, cute girl. I can't say no to her. Not with that, those puppy dog eyes. Yeah. Manipulating. I love those women. But I took it back, set it down. She kissed me on the cheek. I gave her a hug. I said, thank you. I appreciate it. I turn around. I was playing pool, by the way. I turn around and I just go boom, flat on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
I wake up in this woman. Her name was Sue. I called her Aunt Sue. I wake up in her car in the passenger seat. I kid you not, brother. I threw up so much crap. It stained the concrete black. I know we're reversed here, but right hand to God, as God is my witness, it's last I knew, it was still there. You're talking at least 15 years.
Man.
Talk about making your mark on a place. They were talking about that. They said I looked like the Exorcist. I looked like the kid from the Exorcist. It was just constantly going. She said at one point I begged for death, and she said I thought you were going to get it.
Well, I didn't leave that kind of mark. I did leave a mark with somebody else, though. Mm.
And here's the name? Oh, sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if you don't know any of these people that are like this, the people who are decaying from the inside, the loud mouths, stuff like that, it's probably you in your little friend group. If you can't think of a friend, probably you. Ask your friends.
But I had this friend named Adam, and he had this, this Pontiac Firebird, mid-80s. This is like, you know, and... Ooh. So, all black, and we were at a place called Sand Creek. And the back end of Sand Creek, okay, so Sand Creek is a huge park that has, like, 4 baseball fields in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, another park for, like, volleyball, and then there's a huge open field. Well, they have this carnival. Used to have a carnival out there every 4th of July. And this was one of the years when I wasn't with the show. But I was at the pool hall just up the street, which was my main hangout. And I ran into Adam, and we decided we'd go out and we'd get high, you know. And we're driving down this little frontage road that cuts through the park. Mm-hmm. And he comes down the straightaway. Well, he forgot that the end of the straightaway come to a perfect 90-degree left turn. And he's just flying. Now, in that corner... Part of the blacktop had been built up almost like a fake curb. Well, when he realized where he was, by the time he let off the gas to hit the brake, it was too late. Hit that bump, launches the car. Now, he's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. We got 2 people in the back seat, and we got 1 more person in the trunk, visible through the back window, because this is when the IROC-D had that, you know, big window back hatch.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this poor guy, he's like almost my height. He was like 6 feet, but he's all crammed up in the back there. He almost looked like he was a hostage,
mm-hmm.
the way he was curled up in the back.
I remember those.
So yeah, so we go flying. He hit the grass because it dropped down about 10 feet. Lands down, realizes what happened, whips a donut in this big grassy area, come back up, back on the road. And peeled off. And we go to the pool hall. We meet up with somebody else. And we get in their car. And we drive back. And when we get there, there's a bunch of people standing there on the deck of the house that was right next to where all this happened. And we're looking. And we like, hey, do you see what happened here? And he goes, oh, yeah. Some dude just came out here, pulled the Dukes of Hazzard. And I think they might have had a dead body in the back. All I saw was the body flopping around back there.
You can't find that anymore.
No.
I know what you're talking about, too. They had the little bucket seats in the back. That
yeah.
Yep. You can't sit up in. You sat like a J.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make those. My favorite ones, though, were the little jump seats that trucks had. You had the bench seat in the front and a little, like, Bass Pro-style little fold-down chair that... If you're lucky, had a seatbelt, but most of the time, not really. But actually, pretty good segue. We should give a little teaser. I don't know if Tanner's still here, but should we give a little teaser to our idea about the new show?
I'm up for it. I mean,
screw it. Tanner, I know Tanner, he's pretty chill about everything. If he's still in the room, I don't even know if he's online right now. Let me see if he's online first. Doesn't say, but anyway, we got to talking. Tanner and I got on a call last night and we were just hanging out, having some fun, just kind of venting, hanging out. Shout out myself. We always get on these shows and you always hear your host say, if you folks heard what was going on backstage.
Yep.
It was so much fun. It was funny. It was this and that. Guys later. Well, we had an idea. No, I'm not. That's not me. We had an idea. So Brian,
wait the truck.
So Brian, if you're listening, this was a joint effort. What we want to do is we want to do a show to where there's no prep work to it. There's no script. There's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just a good old hangout BS session. As soon as we're in the studio, we hit the live button and we just start hanging out, talking and getting you guys involved. I would like some input. See what you guys think. I know Shadow and I, we've talked about it. I'm excited for it. I think he could really have some fun and do some damage.
Yep.
And Tanner, I know he's the same way. He's all excited for it. But I would like to know what you guys think. And it would be just conversations just like what we're having now. Just random, wholesome, reminiscing. I think you used a good analogy for it. And I'll let you kind of explain it a little bit better.
Oh, okay. So the idea is, and the inspiration for this came out of a casual conversation I was having with my wife, because I was telling her about how the show the night before was just kind of a weird conversation, like a couple of guys in a garage just BSing. Well, when Matt talked to me about this idea with Tanner, I thought that's just exactly what it was. So basically, the whole premise of the show, from what it sounds like, based on what Matt telling me with the conversation between him and Tanner, is it's just some guys hanging out in the garage, shooting the breeze.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. You guys know me. I've been on a lot of shows. I've been a part of a lot of shows. I've watched a lot of these podcasts. And almost every episode, somebody at least mentions once, if you guys would have heard what we were talking about backstage.
Yeah.
Or this happened before we went live, or we had this technical problem, or we had that technical. We want to bring that to light. We want to show you guys what happens behind the scenes. And we might even throw in like some planning for some show ideas. You know, mm-hmm. Get you guys involved. See what you guys want to see in these episodes. Because I can speak for myself, and I'm pretty sure Shadow's the same way, and even Tanner with his Ghost Hunter advice. We want to entertain you guys. We want to give you guys the content you want to see. And what better way than just talk about it?
Nope.
Screw AI. We want to talk to you guys. Maybe we'll get the guy who married the hologram in. Maybe we'll get him to come in and talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We can download her, have her stop in.
Actually, you know what we could do as an episode idea? Find somebody that's willing to let us have a conversation with AI itself.
Ooh, that could be dangerous.
But also and not treat it like it's a interviewing AI, but including AI in that garage style conversation, immersing it into everyday human interaction.
Here's something I think we can all relate on. King of the Hill, when they're all out in the alleyway talking, hanging out, drinking beer, mm-hmm. just talking, that type of style talk, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just hanging out, but yeah, I think that would be interesting.
What would it learn? How would it shape its thoughts?
We might actually destroy AI.
or AI may be like, yeah, humans, not good.
Mm-hmm. It's either going to take over us or it's just going to say nope and just shut down.
Yep.
My Alexa's done that to me before. I've asked her to set an alarm. She set it for the wrong time. I've said it clearly to her. Then I started cussing at her. I actually asked her the one day. I said, Alexa, do you even listen to me? And it shut off. I went, you bitch. And we've also asked if the government is listening into all of our conversations through Alexa while we're not at, like, while she's not active.
Mm-hmm.
She won't respond. I'm like, uh-oh.
Whoops. You know, did you ever watch the show My Name is Earl?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the episode when he got into that argument with the deaf lawyer? I'm not listening to you.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that.
To me, that is exceptionally hysterical because being 60% deaf myself, you know, that whole bit with her, I just could not stop laughing. Well, and I know I'm probably going to get a little bit of flack for this, but I got to do my Helen Keller joke. How do you get Helen Keller to stop snitching?
How?
Break her fingers.
Mm-hmm. I heard it. I just wanted you to say it. No, trust me. Speaking of jokes, and actually this ties in, going with AI, have you seen these AI Bigfoot and AI like country boys and stuff like that? They do like all these jokes and whatnot.
I do follow a channel. I think it's Bigfoot Boys.
Yeah, they do like blogs. Bigfoot does his blogs.
Yeah, there's that one. There's a couple of them. Mm-hmm. One is Bigfoot Boys. The other one is Bigfoot Vlog. They're hysterical.
There's ones that do like backwoods country folk and farmers talking to news reporters and stuff like that. It is so hilarious. There's one I just saw today that made me laugh so hard. So this older, like backwoods good old boy was sitting there, older gentleman, sitting there eating a hot dog. We had a hot dog in one hand and another one in another. And a woman comes up and goes, excuse me, sir, do you know that it's considered processed, blah, 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 it's so unhealthy for you? He goes, sweetie, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question here. Do you know what the difference between this hot dog and your opinion is? And she goes, no, sir, I do not. What is the difference? And he goes, I asked for this fucking hot dog.
I think I know which one you're talking about, because I've seen some other ones that are just like, you know, by the time you get to the end of the video, just like, what did I just watch?
I love those. They have one with a husband and wife that go around, and it's just so hilarious. I can't remember the exact on the one, but the one that sticks out is like they're talking about death, and it's an older couple. And she said, are you going to find me in the afterlife or something like that? He goes, hell no. I just spent 77 years with your dumb ass. He goes, we said until death do us part, not do this shit over. I was
kind of like that Jeff Dunham Walter. When you say till death do us part, you're actually setting a goal.
Yes. See, I can't get away from the Wicked Queen, though. She's going to do something. She's a witch, so I'm screwed. I already come to terms with that. But no, like, and that's the thing. Like, some of this AI stuff is good. It's funny. It's creative. But I don't know. Just some of it's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And you know there's somebody out there who thinks that the Bigfoot vlogs are legit. I can guarantee you.
I'm sorry. If anybody is dumb enough to believe that, especially considering that there is a guy who has a commercial that says, I will teach you how to do this with this company,
mm-hmm.
then you know what? Maybe you should just not have a cell phone or any kind of access to any kind of internet.
We've said that at work, that there's some people that should not have technology. They need to be like Amish. Go back to like right. old order Amish to where you don't know nothing about nothing. Just you yep. do you boo. But I will say I like Chit. Chit's came out of nowhere and I really like him. I don't know if you've seen him. Got older gentleman with bowl cut glasses. Goes, yeah. Always, I don't know if you've seen that one.
I don't think so.
I'll have to send you. He is, it's kind of a weird office, like The Office. It kind of gives me that type of vibe, but I'll find it and I'll send it to you on TikTok. But All right. I think you get a kick out of it. It's a little bit of sophisticated humor mixed with a lot of with some slapstick, and I think it's right up your alley. I think you'd enjoy it.
All right. Well, we are at the hour and a half mark.
I actually forgot there was a timer up on top. Whoops. You said that, and I was like, really? Oh, crap.
Yeah. And I am going to call it a show because my wife has got some delicious dinner planned, and with her being a head chef, I will not say no to that.
I don't blame you. I actually made gumbo, homemade gumbo tonight.
Okay, real gumbo or
no,
Yankee gumbo?
No, real gumbo. We do things right, especially in this house.
Well, the only reason why I ask is because a lot of people think, you know, that when they say they make gumbo, they think it's just, as I heard one pastor say it, people think gumbo is just a chicken jumping in and jumping out of boiling water.
No. I will say it is modified a little bit, but that's just because of her mom. Her mom has some health issues. She can't have some things. So it is modified to that aspect.
That I get.
But it's like Creole. It's good.
Yeah. My wife has. So my parents are still in Louisiana. So, you know, like every couple of months, you know, we have my parents send up some stuff from Louisiana. So we have Nolan cooking. We got Nolan cooking.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was funny was we deconstructed when we went to when we went down to New Orleans and
Nolan.
Yeah. We literally brought back some, like Howard and Jackie gave us a big thing to bring back. One of the first things we did when we got home, well, her dad did, was deconstruct the entire thing. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make sure if they do something, they want to make it authentic. They want to make it legit. So, but no, it was legit stuff. It was good. Maybe I'll have some more. But I appreciate you having me on again, brother. It's always
no problem.
It's always a fun time with hanging out with you.
And we'll definitely have to talk more about, you know, that show that you and Tanner want to do.
100%.
You know, see what kind of trouble we can get into.
Look out, mister.
Zipper check.
I actually looked.
I can just see him, as soon as you say that, him looking down.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm not wearing pants.
So, all right, well, any last shout-outs real quick before we wrap it up?
You hit Parapost Network, obviously. Huge shout-out to them. Global Ghost Hunt, went over that before. If you guys don't know what Global Ghost Hunt is, just head over to globalghosthunt.com. You can also look at our Facebook, YouTube channel. Show some support, show some love. If you're looking to sign up, you might want to hurry because sign up ends at the end of August, August 31st. And of course my sponsors, Health Empowers You, huge shout out to them. You know, check out all I gotta say is check out healthempowersyou.net. Mm-hmm. Go check them out. You will not regret it. They actually have merch now, which is really cool. And they have a variety of different things and it's healthy living, which is good, but not the way you're expecting. And shout out to another sponsor of Global Ghost Hunt, Deluxe Ups. They're more of the minerals, vitamins, stuff like that, like they supplements. They well round Health Empowers You, so go check them out too.
All right. Well, you know the deal. I'll put you in the back room while I wrap this up, and I will talk to you in just a minute.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Much love.
All right. Well, that's it for the show. And as I mentioned before, that is one of those weird shows. Well, you never know what kind of conversation you'll get. And I wish I could say that it's like a box of chocolate, but really, it's more like a bag of old Sour Patch candy. Because no matter what, you're going to get a slap in the face or something. So I appreciate everybody for stopping by, and I say thank you to everybody on YouTube and Rumble for helping me, you know, slowly get my video views up there. And if you like this content and you want to see more, check out all the links down in the description below. There you'll find everything you need. And as I say at the end of every show, be smart, be safe, and be kind to one another, because you never know, your one act of kindness could change somebody's life. And just as importantly, if not more importantly, stay weird, people.